Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Locked On Cavaliers Podcast. You'll notice I am not Chris Manning, but he is on the horn. Chris, tell your audience what up.
Well, guys, today we're talking about Cavs, Wolves, possible deals for Kyrie Irving, and the great Zach Bennett is the guest, and he's kind enough, because I'm in the car, and he's in an actual recording studio. He's recording, and that's how we're making this work.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the Kyrie, compared to any deal that in which the Wolves land Kyrie, this will actually work. Unlike, you know, all of the other stuff that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, before we get into that, I want to ask you, if you were going to request a trade from your team, would you say, like, going on a Nike basketball tour in Asia is, like, the best way to cover yourself from having to deal with it at home? Is that what you would do?
Next to turning my phone off completely?
Yeah.
Then yes, that would be my escape.
Posted so many times on Instagram when he was there. I was like, Kyrie, I know what you're doing. And then he shows up in the video with Curry, and it's just all hilarious. But, all right, Zach, let me ask you this. Like, I think the idea of Kyrie in Minnesota, if you could do it for the right move, would actually, like, be really good for the Wolves. Like, I think him, Butler, and Towns would be really good. I also would totally understand the hesitation to deal Andrew Wiggins for him. And you also, like, I don't know if the deal makes sense for either team, really, until December 15th, because if you can't trade Jeff Teague in this deal,
which we cannot,
like, I don't think until December 15th, I don't think Kyrie Teague makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and I mean, maybe you're one who follows my Twitter account, but I said a couple weeks ago, Max, Kyrie to the Wolves, it ain't happening. It's not. I thought it was a booger, but it's not, you know? It's just not the type of deal that can go down. I mean, before the Teague deal, maybe we could have talked, but it's like the cap issues. What's it, Kyrie, you know, $19 million cap hit this year, Wiggins four or something. I mean, the Wolves are already, I mean,
Aldridge.
All of the numbers won't allow it to happen. And then, you know, name the Wolves' backup wings, Chris. Name them.
I can't.
So if they traded one of their starting wings, they would be in trouble.
Who are the Wolves' backup wings? Now I need to know.
They don't have any.
Oh, okay.
It's a trick question. I mean, unless you're playing Bielitsa at the three and Jamal Crawford at the two.
Oh my God! I forgot you got Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the thing that happened. Yeah. So
I was gonna make a joke about Wiggins' defense not being better than Crawford's, but I don't want Bill Bull to, like, come fight me.
He might. He's on a tour of the East Coast right now.
I know. He'll stop on his way back and just come beat the crap out of me. But let's just say hypothetical basketball fit. Do you like the idea? Like, if you could get Kyrie and, like, add him to that team, and, like, your big three is Butler, Towns, Kyrie, do you like that big three?
Butler, Towns, and Kyrie. I do. I honestly do. And We're removing Wiggins out of the equation, but we're adding Butler. So assuming Wiggins goes to the Cavs, which he does not, but in this question he does, Jimmy Butler becomes your primary wing defender. He becomes the guy that Andrew Wiggins is aspiring to be, that does everything that Wiggins can currently do. Maybe you move Jeff Teague to the two in a world where this deal exists, where Jeff Teague is already here. Sure. Yeah, I enjoy it, especially with all the low post points that they've made regarding this deal. It's like the Wolves have been 28th, 29th, or 30th in home attendance for the past 3, 4, 5 years, excluding that last Kevin Love year. We put butts in the seats. We we unite Maya Moore and Uncle Drew like they did in the second or third Uncle Drew video, whatever it was. I mean, all the narratives add up there. I'm for it. It's, I mean, it's pardon my, can I?
Well, Kyrie and Butler are boys. Kyrie and Butler are friends.
Well, yeah. And Tom Thibodeau has somehow overseen that friendship with all the Olympic stuff and et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, if I can swear on this, can I swear, yeah. Chris? It's it's fucking Kyrie Irving. You go out and you do what you need to do to get Kyrie Irving.
This is one of the things that I keep coming back to with this. Like, I understand Kyrie has his flaws. Like, I understand that. I think most criticisms of him are very fair. I think, like, there are things he clearly needs to get better on. He's also really freaking good at basketball. Like, he's an elite scorer. He's, like, he has very little flaws when it comes to actually scoring the basketball. He needs to get better at creating for others. That's a totally fair critique of his, but he's a good off ball. He's a good cutter. He's a good in any part of the floor. You put him in any spot on the floor, he's going to make shots. He has these issues, and I get it. He's really good, and, like, I think teams overthink this sometimes. Like, I think if you have a guy who's 25 years old, who is under contract for two more years, who is really, really marketable, like, I almost just wonder if there is, like, some just, like, whatever reason it is, I wonder what the issue with him would be, other than he plays at a very saturated position, so there's not exactly a lot of logical fits for him. And then I think one of the problems is a lot of the teams that make sense for him, like Minnesota, like the Nuggets, like the Heat, they don't exactly have these perfect deals for him that give the Cavs what they want, and they should be asking for something fairly good back in return because, like you said, he's Kyrie fucking Irving.
Yeah. No, and we're talking at a bad point in the conversation because Glenn Taylor comes out and says we're just waiting on Andrew Wiggins to commit to being a better player, and then we're willing to offer him the max. And
can I ask you about that? Like, that was weird. That, like, was weird to me. Like, that, like what is Wiggins, like, not want to improve? Like, that was weird. That was, like, a weird.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Comment about that deal to me.
Yeah, and it's Glenn Taylor, so he only speaks up when he has to, but he says what he needs to say on his forefront to, you know, at least not give up all of the quote-unquote proverbial leverage that he can in the negotiation. So, of course, he's going to say, well, I'm not just going to go sit and beg Wiggins to negotiate this max. He's going to have to give up something for me, which is similar in the sense that this is what he did for Kevin Love and all of that stuff. So it's like, and Tom Thibodeau can only go so far in these negotiations, but it's like, at some point it's like, Glenn, dude, your boy Wiggins, you know, as you recall, who was put on the ESPN TVs and was like, how does it feel to be betrayed by the franchise who left you? I mean, this guy is younger than Kyrie, who we forget. Yeah. Kyrie is only 25 or whatever age he is.
Yeah, 25.
And it's like Wiggins is even younger than that, and Wiggins has already been put through the meat grinder in the sense that three days after he was drafted, people on ESPN were asking him on national television how he felt about the Cavs betraying him, and then now we're talking about trading him back to the franchise who betrayed him for a quote-unquote franchise point guard, and it's just like, okay, Wiggins, we're going to come out here and defend you, and we're going to alleviate the pressure of you being on the table and all that shit that you're going to need to put up with, but you're going to have to come out and say something, man. Like, you got to say something to the public just so we cannot look like we're just praising you entirely and not getting anything in return. So a lot of it is just, you know, it's just a front to put in front of the cameras and saying the right things, stating the obvious, which is a lot of the NBA players' job today to the media. I mean, it's just stating, saying the words that need to be said to appease the people who need to write their columns, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the world we live in. Like, a lot of the most fascinating work, like, it's not always true, but I feel like the only two times I really learn a lot about a guy is if Lee Jenkins or someone of that caliber, like, profiles a player, or if they ever happen to have a really good local beat guy. Like, if you have a really, really on-the-nose local beat guy, like you have with Krasinski and with the AP in Minnesota, like you have Lloyd in Cleveland, like you have these guys that are great, and you learn from players that way, but otherwise it's just you get a lot of platitudes. Like, Kyrie is, like, the king of platitudes, actually, with media.
Really? Say more.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a... If you go back and watch his interviews, he's, like, not exactly, like, a very willing-to-speak guy, which I can kind of understand. But, like, it's kind of like him and Love are sort of, like, similar. Love is a little more articulate if you ask him the right question.
Well, we put him through the test already up here. So
I can't imagine his last couple years with the Wolves were, like, particularly enjoyable when, like, Woj would just, like, put his feet to the like, on the Yahoo skewers and stuff and just kind of roast him. But one of the things about the Wolves that, like, would fascinate me as a trade runner is, like, it is Wiggins. And I know he's, like, really polarizing for reasons that I think are both, like, fair and unfair. Like, I know he's not good at all the stuff you'd necessarily want him to be, like, really good at. But he is good, and he's going to be good. Like, are you in the camp for Wiggins where he's, like, is he going to be, like, a modern Rudy Gay? Or is he going to, like, actually be, like, a legit number two for Towns? Or, like, a number three with Towns and Butler? Like, what is Wiggins?
It's tough to really say because you use the word saturated, and I think a lot of his stats offensively and defensively over the years has been saturated. It's like, oh, Wiggins, this is your first NBA game, and Tony Allen is guarding you. So we're just going to post you up multiple times every single time down the floor, basically. And so he's asked to be a high-usage guy on a team with not a lot of shooting around him. And so I think the upcoming years will say a lot about him, both offensively and defensively, because you added that other wing defender in Butler. You're assuming that Towns is going to get better at protecting the rim, which he was not good at all next year. And so more or less you're asking him to grow with the core of the team. And now, granted, you're throwing a lot of money at that deal, but it's also... Yeah, you know, in the ownership and managerial sense, this is the same guy who you forked Kevin Love over for and you committed to. And keep in mind, you know, teams like the Bucks were tanking for him. I mean, Philly, of course, were in that realm. So it's like
the Cavs were like, until the LeBron stuff happened, I don't know if you've, like, read or, like, you and I talk about this, but in the McMenamin Windhorse book of the Return of the King about LeBron.
Did that come out? Did that come out, by the way?
It did. It came out a couple months ago.
Oh, well, I'm not on my Cavs book.
It's very good. If you're going to read a basketball book this summer, which, like, I'm a fan of, like, not reading about basketball books in the summer because I need breaks.
Does it talk about, like, their flight home from winning the – I mean, they stopped in Vegas and all that shit?
Yeah, it does. There's good details about it in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Then I can't wait.
Yeah. But there's, like, talk about, like, how and it's something they said at the time about, like, Wiggins is, like, what they envisioned him as. And they were like, yeah, like, okay, we're going to have this team of Kyrie and Wiggins where Wiggins is going to be really big too. Gordon Hayward was on a plane to Cleveland and then they went after LeBron and – like, they had this plan. Like, Wiggins was very much, like, a part of it. And I think, like, the hype around him was deserved. And I think, like, there are things he does well. There are things he doesn't do well. He's, like, such an interesting case of, like, is he, like, being over-criticized? Or is he, like, being read? Like, he's just so, like, I think, like, almost, like, it started when, like, he got compared to James Posey, you know? Like, that 538 model.
Yeah, the analytics compared. Well, he's not James Posey. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Cavs assistant coach is James Posey. For the record,
Damon Jones
like still just killing it. Damon Jones coached summer league team this year, which is pretty wild. All the players I would have guessed coaching summer league, not Damon Jones. But an actual deal here to me.
I have questions about the James Jones thing, by the way.
Oh, hit me with them. Hit me with them in a
After you're done.
Yeah. I think a deal between the Cavs and the Wolves, like, would make sense for both teams if you could, like, wait to do it.
Or had and, done it, like, before Jeff Teague.
Right, or if you had done it before Jeff Teague. Like, I think Wiggins, like, I think you definitely could make a very strong argument that if you're looking, even though, like, his contract timeline is, like, not as ideal as a Josh Jackson or a Justice Winslow or even, like, a Jamal Murray in terms of, like, a young piece.
Wolves should have drafted Jamal Murray, by the way.
You're not wrong. I mean, like...
I'm just saying. I hate to throw that out on a Cavs pod, but... You know,
no, you're good. It's August. We're good. This is what this is for.
The Nuggets will win the division, for what it's worth.
That's a take. like Wiggins, like regardless of his contract situation, where he's headed into this big max deal, when like you may be having to rebuild next summer with LeBron, is like not necessarily ideal. But you could argue, I think, that he is the best thing you could get back in return for Kyrie. Like, I think that argument isn't like totally invalid. And I think a deal like would have made sense. Like, I think if you're the Wolves and you can like say, okay, Jimmy is your salesman there. Luke. You know, because like, A, he likes playing for Tibbs. And Kyrie still has 2 years. You could sell Kyrie like in the next 2 years about re-upping there, and like Tibbs, and like if you can, Tibbs could be someone that can maybe get Irving to do more on defense and all these different things. And it would give you like a really really good core to build around, and that's not going to be bad or like get old right away. And you still have Carl friggin' Anthony Towns, so like you're fine. The problem, like I think, the Teague thing before and then waiting. It's just like I don't have a good read on this. I just don't know if the Cavs like necessarily they've said they would. Kyrie's been in their marketing stuff. I don't know if they would want to wait that long. And I don't think you can do a deal if you're the Cavs without like I don't think you can do the deal without Teague, just because like I don't know if they're comfortable with Derrick Rose being their starting point guard on opening night. Because you could like make the monies match, you know, in different ways. I'm pretty sure, but
you can't trade Teague.
Well, couldn't you do like. Like what? I mean, I don't have a trade machine, and I'm not gonna.
So
like,
you're gonna? I mean, here's.
Is like Cole Aldrich and like whatnot.
You could do it, but in any way you slice it, you're gonna end up with Teague, Crawford, and Irving on the roster. And I'm sorry, I'm out.
You're right. I think that's a totally fair thing because you can't play any. Like I was very against Jamal Crawford with the Cavs because I didn't think you could play him with Kyrie.
Oh, you must have looked at his free throw rate over the years.
Well, I just like watched him play like. Every time I watch the play, I'm like, yeah, this would be terrible. This would be, like, literally a terrible fit. Like, yeah. I would rather, like, Iman Shumpert 20 minutes than, like, I'm the most, like, anti-Iman Shumpert person that exists.
That's a hot take in Cavland, right?
What? That Iman Shumpert's bad?
No, that, well, here's the question I'll pose. Who draws more fouls per drive, Iman Shumpert or Jamal Crawford? Because the answer might surprise you.
Is it Iman Shumpert?
I haven't looked, but it might surprise me.
If it is Iman Shumpert, like I'm just gonna like never talk about Jamal Crawford.
All I'm saying is Crawford has been immune to drawing fouls over the last season.
Yeah, I mean
and a half.
He does one thing and he doesn't even. I'm Jamal Crawford was great, but like the thing he does well, he doesn't do that well anymore.
Well, he
and
still
it's
does
the one thing he's good enough for.
Yeah, and it's like the 4-point plays are great, but they can only happen once in a blue moon and. Most of them come against the Wolves, so you're just alleviating the Wolves of that pressure over the years. So it's like, whatever.
Right.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Okay, as a guy who doesn't pay attention to the Cavs beat, I'm flipping the script on you. What the hell's gonna happen to Kyrie? Because he can't come to the Wolves. He's not coming. He's not He's not coming to the Wolves.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
I will say, I think the Cavs would do the Wiggins deal if it was available.
It's not.
Available. I think, let's say that
it's
now.
Just
I think
not.
That would be something
it's
that would
not.
Be very attractive to them.
Having talked to somebody in the analytics department with the Wolves, their homework is done. They laid it all in front of Tibbs, and they're like, this is what we think you should do. These are the players you should sign. This is the priority list. And they've had like 3 weeks vacation after that. So it's done. The Wiggins deal, it's not happening.
Yeah.
What deals could happen? Is the Denver possibility likely? I want the Wolves to trade their they have OKC's first for next year. Somehow fandangle that in with like a Cole Aldrich deal somehow and get Wilson or Will the Thrill Barton. I would love that.
Oh, he would fit really nicely. For the Cavs, I think there are three teams right now that makes the most sense in terms of what they can offer. And what like the Cavs are looking for in return. So if listeners out there don't know, what the Cavs want is a young player in a rookie contract.
Here's number one.
A pick and veteran help. So like they want those three things. I don't think they're getting all three things based on this market.
Sure. So who's team number one on their target list?
I think the most likely one they want to keep coming back to is the Heat.
And what and they can offer
Dragic, Winslow, Josh Richardson could probably take Shump back.
And isn't there some agent ties there?
Maybe, but he had a Griffin connection, but that's obviously gone. But he has 2 years left in his deal. Winslow, Fitcher, blue chipper on a rookie deal. 2 years left before he becomes restricted for agency, so you have that. And Richardson can help you, and is still pretty young, too. So I think that would make sense.
Sure.
The Suns have the agent combo.
Yeah. The connection.
Yeah. So the James Jones factor in this is, like, I don't know how to quantify it. The deal I think the Cavs would take if it was offered is some combination of Eric Bledsoe, Josh Jackson, pick, or Jared Dudley, or something along those lines, like where they get kind of everything they want. I think they would do that in a heartbeat.
Dudley would be a great fit, and the agent connection I'm talking about is Eric Bledsoe's agent. Doesn't he share the same agent with LeBron?
Yeah, Clutch Sports. Yeah. LeBron worked out with him. I don't know if I read too much into that. I think the more interesting thing there is James Jones is tight with LeBron. Played with Kyrie for 3 years, and he's now the vice president of basketball operations for the Suns.
Yeah, goddamn right.
So, like,
as a Phoenix native, that blows my mind, by the way.
What does that? He's doing that already?
That happened, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. The craziest thing is, you would think that if James, like, this makes me wonder a lot, and this is all speculation. Like, if James Jones is talking to Ryan McDonough and talking to Robert Sarver, and he knows that Kyrie is available, and I'm, like, very sure that he does, and I'm very sure, like, he knows Kyrie well from playing with him for 3 years and being the 3 finals with him, if he really, really thought, like, he was worth, and I don't know what he said, so, like, that has to be a caveat, that I don't know that he hasn't said this, or that he has said it one way or the other. If he, like, really, really thought, like, trading Josh Jackson and whatever it took to get Kyrie was worth it, I almost like the Suns, like, that would matter to the Suns right now. But they're sticking to this timeline, and he is new to the job, so there's all these different factors. But I think, like, if the Suns happen and they budge on Josh Jackson, like, I wonder how James Jones fits into that.
I mean, I'd take the deal. Because
I think that might be the best return for the Cavs too. If you get, like, the guy that's got the longest time on his contract, he's a rookie, can still probably help you this year, and you get Eric Bledsoe, who I think is a very underrated guy.
If he stays healthy, Eric Bledsoe's got to be one of the top combo guards in the Eastern Conference, assuming he accepts the deal with the Cavs, yeah?
Right. The trick would be, are you betting on Eric Bledsoe and Derrick Rose's knees staying healthy for a full year? You know, like, that's a lot.
Yeah, Derrick Rose in itself becomes a lot, sure.
But I'm glad for you guys, like all the with the Wolves walkers I know and stuff, that that Rose didn't sign there, because I think you all would have just, like, wanted to punch yourself. I don't know, would have, like, lost it. Yeah.
I was on the same train as the Kyrie trade train. It's like, it's never happening. Don't entertain it, because it's not happening.
Right.
And in hindsight, that all looks good. Kind of like how the Wolves should have drafted Jamal Murray.
Speaking of Jamal Murray, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say the Nuggets are the third most likely team if they offer the right pieces. If you're the Cavs, would you rather have Gary Harris or Jamal Murray if you can only get one of them?
Fuck, that's a tough question, because the Cavs are such in a win-now mode that you want Gary Harris for defensive purposes.
And because you could still, like, build around him afterwards. Like, it's not like he's, like, old and you have to pay him. But,
yeah,
like,
but if you're building around someone, I'm taking Jamal Murray, and it's not even close.
Right.
Like, oh.
But he's not necessarily helping you next year in the way that Gary Harris probably can.
He could help you, though, in the way that Kyrie kind of did, assuming that you're expecting a lot in the sense of individual playmaking, shot creation for teammates, and shot creation for in isolation situations where Kyrie thrives in the playoffs. I think you take Jamal Murray and you just risk it because of his international experience and potential that he showed as a rookie. And I think that's already a lot more than the other option. So I'm taking Jamal Murray in that situation.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll talk about some, like, random stuff for a second. But what do you think is the where would you, if you were the Cavs, like, where would you want Kyrie? If you were the Cavs, like, what deal would be the most attractive to you? What team would be the most attractive to you?
I wouldn't take a deal, and I'd expect Kyrie back come training camp and for the season opener. I want the deal that puts he and LeBron in the same room to work this shit out, because it doesn't make any sense to me that Kyrie wants out and that there's no way this team can work. Is that such a far-fetched opinion to have?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think it's kind of likely. Now, I every day that a trade doesn't happen, I think it's more likely that he does come back in some way. Like, that, to me, kind of makes some sense.
Is that disappointing?
No, I think it's fine. Like, I think, like, it's not like Kyrie, like, demanded. I don't think he's going to tank it. I think LeBron is going to be more amenable to kind of making it work than some people might think.
Totally.
So, I think it's fine. Like,
I haven't...
I think, like, if they've been through a lot together, if Kevin, like, if you can, like, bring back Kevin Love and, like, deal with it and, like, have that good relationship after... and by the way, like, Kevin Love maybe being the last man standing is, like, sort of crazy in all of this.
Don't fit out. But, just fit in.
Yeah.
That happened.
But it's like, I think you can figure it out eventually and kind of. It's Kyrie. Like, he's really good. It's not like, it's not like a problem that you're bringing him back, you know? It's like, you figure it out and you have 2 years and maybe you can convince him. And I think from what I know, they would prefer to trade him if they got the right deal, but I don't think they're in a rush to do it. Like, it seemed like the Pacers were with Paul George.
The Wiggins deal would be the number one deal that I would take, and I think the Denver deal is second. I don't know if Denver's taking it because of the good stuff that they have going on there, so I think you settle for the Miami deal third. And Phoenix is just a wild card with what they have going on in the front office down there. Nobody knows anything about what could happen at any time. So you're settling for Miami at best. Maybe you get Phoenix to take it over, but the Wiggins deal isn't happening. You can't bank on the Nuggets deal, you know, barring some weird exception. As I said before, the Miami deal might happen. The Phoenix deal, you can't bank on it either, just because, I mean, you included Robert Sarver in their in the names.
Right.
And it's like, we don't know what that guy fucking does at all.
Right. Let's wrap it up in this deck. What are you doing in the offseason now that you have free time?
I watch Lynx games. They're 26-3, so they're in trouble.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I love the W. Maybe it's great. More people need to watch the WNBA.
Absolutely correct. I don't know if you stick them in the 2K game, just or the whatever. What did they just get involved in? Is it 2K? No, it wasn't 2K. It was the
other, NBA Live.
NBA Live. I don't know if you stick them in NBA Live. And, oh, by the way, why doesn't the WNBA get its own fucking game? I don't get it.
I mean, they should. Like, it would be cool.
Beyond me. So the WNBA stuff goes on. I keep some part-time jobs to keep the blood cooking through the veins. But aside from that, I'm about to produce a Minnesota Vikings football podcast over the next few hours. That keeps me going on Wednesdays. Does that answer your question, or would you like a follow-up?
No, it does. You have any? You a soccer guy? Like, you EPL guy? Like, what do you?
If I had to pick an EPL team, it'd be Arsenal. Unfortunately,
I'm gonna fight you there. Like, I'm gonna drive you.
Oh, so you like Spurs then, don't you?
Yes, I do like Spurs because, like, I don't like finishing in fourth place.
Well, I mean,
I don't like being a gooner.
You finished in second the last few years. Congratulations.
I know, but Arsenal's just eternally fourth place, and. You're going to have to sell Alexis Sanchez. I think you should just watch Tottenham. You'll enjoy your life more.
Yeah, you should go up and look up the winning percentages of teams based in Phoenix and Minneapolis, which is where I grew up my entire life. And you'll understand why I settle for mediocrity. What up, Spin?
Yeah, and this is why, like, I don't fault Americans for, like, liking Man United, because they just want to watch a winner after watching shit their whole life.
Well, they do have that nice little NBC deal that allows them to watch more soccer. Than in years previous, where, you know, guys like you and I would just get up to. I started watching EPL just so I could get up in the morning after a few too many drinks the night before, to enjoy the vocabulary of the broadcasters. So that's what really got me into it, and that's what I thoroughly enjoy. But Minnesota United's been they're at the bottom of the barrel, but they play 5-6 blocks from my apartment, so.
They just acquired Ethan Finley, Duluth's own, from the Columbus Crew, I read.
Oh, my God. Somebody from outside the state knows about Duluth. I can't believe it.
I know, man. I mean, I'm an MLS fan as well.
I mean, what do you think Ramirez's chance of making the United States team are? Because from where I'm sitting, they look pretty fucking good. He just doesn't get the shot.
Yeah. I think I'm all for giving all random MLS guys chances. That's my take.
I don't even know who the United States coach. It's not Klinsmann. Who's the United States coach?
It's Bruce Arena again.
Oh, Jesus. What does that mean?
I know. I don't know. Pulisic? I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Pulisic, yes. Yeah.
He's incredible. So that's all that matters. Well, American Messi.
But is he the savior?
Yes. Yeah.
Because who was the last savior? Freddie Adu?
Look, that doesn't count. We get a mulligan on that one.
All right. What else should we...
All right, Zach, real quick. Just tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter so they give you a follow and keep up with your...
www.twitter.com/ZacharyBD. I will publish this as its own Wolves Wired podcast. So for those listening to Takes on the Wolves every week or so, Wolves Wired podcast is where to find me. I used to do the Lockdown Wolves podcast, but for reasons I will not mention, I no longer do that one. Manifest Destiny, though. Check out Wolves Wired for me, Tim Fakeless, and a bunch of other rubes talking about the Wolves. It's actually quite fucking entertaining. We're uncensored, if you can't tell by the language. And
I appreciate it.
It's good shit. So, Chris Manning.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thanks, Zach.
At CWM Writes, WRITES, on the Twitter machine. This has been your show, Locked On Cavs.
Yeah.
Glad to be a part of it.
I think it was our show, Zach. It's our show.
Have me on anytime you'd like, Chris.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Peace.